Gokulam sarva avrinvan. Mushnangs chakshum si renubi. Irayan sumahagora. Shabdena pradishodisha. Gokulam sarva avrinvan. Mushnangs chaksum shi renubi. Irayan sumahagora. Shabdena pradishodisha. Gokulam sarva vrindvan. Mungshnangs chaksum si renubi. Irayan sumahagora. Shabdena pradishodisha. Mushnangs chakshum si renubi. Irayan sumahagora. Gokulam. The whole tract of land known as Gokula. Sarvam. Everywhere. Avrinvan. Covering. Mushnan. Taking away. Chakshumsi. The power of vision. Renubi. By particles of dust. Irayan. Was vibrating. Sumahagora. Very fierce and heavy. Shabdena. With the sound. Pradishadisha. Entered everywhere in all directions. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Covering the whole land of Gokula with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with greatly fearful sound. Purport. Trinavartasura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokula, so that no one could see the nearest thing. So I'll read through a few more verses. 22. For a moment, the whole pasturing ground was overcast with dense darkness from the dust storm, and Mother Yashoda was unable to find her son where she had placed him. Because of the bits of sand thrown by Trinavarta, people could not see themselves or anyone else, and thus they were illusioned and disturbed. Because of the dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yashoda could find no trace of her son, nor could she understand why. Thus she fell down on the ground like a cow who had lost her calf and began to lament very pitifully. Text 25. When the force of the dust storm and the wind subsided, Yashoda's friends, the other gopis, approached Mother Yashoda, hearing her pitiful crying. Not seeing Krishna present, they too felt very much aggrieved and joined Mother Yashoda in crying, their eyes full of tears. Purport. This attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. The center of all the activities of the gopis was Krishna. When Krishna was there, they were happy. And when Krishna was not there, they were unhappy. Thus, when Mother Yashoda was lamenting Krishna's absence, the other ladies also began to cry. Om Gyana Tamarandasha Gyanadana Salakaya Chakshulamitamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Panchako Patrubhischa Kripasindhavyebhicha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyebhyo Namo Namaha. So now we are beginning the story of the killing of the demon Trinavarta. This is the third demon that has appeared in Vrindavan to do harm to Krishna. We had Putana, and we had the cart demon earlier in this chapter, and now we have the Trinavarta demon. At this point, Krishna is about 1 year old, still a very small baby, and of course, the gopis and Mother Yashoda are very, very concerned for his welfare. In the Vatsalya Rasa, of course, their main duty is to protect Krishna, to care for him, to make sure that he is safe in all circumstances. Therefore, they are very, very distressed. The whirlwind demon comes, there's huge dust and dirt everywhere, no one can see anything. One moment, the next moment, Krishna is gone, he's disappeared. So we see that now Mother Yashoda is very much lamenting, very much crying. The other elderly gopis, the other mothers come, they're also crying along with Mother Yashoda. So they are feeling this very, very intense separation from Krishna. This is very graphic separation. In this case, it's Krishna's literally separated, taken away from them right in front of their eyes by this whirlwind demon. So we see that this very intense feeling of separation is natural, of course, to be natural for any mother to feel this if their child was suddenly taken away like that and in great danger, maybe killed, probably killed for all they would know. So this is very natural that they'd be extremely upset and concerned. But of course, in the case of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees in Vrindavan Leela, this reaches the highest stage of Krishna Prema. And so we see that this intense separation that the inhabitants of Vrindavan manifest is very intense prema, a very intense feelings of separation. So this is, a very, very strong feeling and emotion. In this case, it's a transcendental emotion. In the purport, Prabhupada says, this attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. Why? Because the center of all the activities of the gopis was Krishna. Because everything is centered around Krishna, it is very different than a mundane emotion or an ordinary emotion of an ordinary parent or mother who might be concerned for their child. So this is, of course, the deepest spiritual emotions. We see that Mother Yashoda often has these feelings of separation with Krishna. In this case, of course, she's very fearful for his safety. But even when she is not fearful for his safety, she still is always feeling this longing to be with Krishna every moment. Even when Krishna just goes out to herd the cows for the day, just the normal daily activity. Mother Yashoda and all the other residents of the village are very upset. They're longing for Krishna. When will Krishna return? I wonder if Krishna's, his feet are being hurt by the sharp rocks and the thorns out in the pasturing ground. So this absorption in Krishna, this is the hallmark of the pure devotees, of the eternal associates of Krishna, that whether it's in concern or fear or anxiety or love, always everything is centered around Krishna and the emotions that are there. So whether they are with Krishna or whether they are separated from Krishna, we could say equally, but there's also some distinction, that spiritual emotion is there. So the devotional experience of meeting with Krishna and separation from Krishna is called sambhoga and viparlamba. Now this is usually used in connection with the gopis, but we could see that these feelings of meeting and separation are there with all of the residents in Vrindavan. So sambhoga means when you are meeting, when you are actually with Krishna. And when Krishna is not there, that's the feeling of viparlamba, or separation. Now the nectar devotion in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila 23rd chapter in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami explains all these emotions very nicely and very carefully in a somewhat of a technical way, at least to me it's quite technical. beyond my level of realization, certainly, but he describes that there's four different types of viparlumba, or separation. And three of these are manifest primarily by the gopis in Vrindavan, and one of them, called Purvaraga, is more often seen in Dwarka. Now, it's interesting because most of these, the three, have to do with the meeting Krishna and then Krishna separated. It's different emotions and different ways that that's experienced after meeting Krishna and then being bereft of that relationship. But this Purvaraga is kind of interesting because this is sometimes called preliminary viparlumba. It's a feeling of separation before meeting Krishna, so sometimes simply by hearing about Krishna. And the example is given of Rukmini. It's sort of the exemplar of this. Rukmini, as we know, actually did not see Krishna. She had never met Krishna, but her entire heart's desire was to marry Krishna, right? All she wanted to do, they were trying to marry her off to, you know, Shishupal, right? Was it Shishupal? Yeah. Yeah, and her brother was trying to arrange it with Shishupal, not exactly a very not the kind of person that she'd want to marry. You know, so anyway, because of political expediency, they're trying to make this arrangement with Shishupal, of all people, this demon. And of course, her heart is completely set on Krishna. And in fact, she sends the Brahmin messenger to Krishna. Please come and take me, kidnap me, steal me away, you know, save me from this fate. I only want you. And Rukmini had never met Krishna. But because she heard about Krishna, she had heard his pastimes, she had heard his glories, and of course she's his eternal consort, but in this pastime at least, she was playing the part that she had never met Krishna. But she was so attracted to him just by knowing about Krishna and hearing about Krishna. So our position in a much more neophyte way, not in such an exalted way as Rukmini Devi, we're a little bit like that. We're not so much, at least myself, not seeing Krishna. I'm not, you know, meeting Krishna and then feeling the separation. We're still hankering for that time when we will again see Krishna, when we will again have his association, when we will develop that loving relationship. So because we've heard about Krishna from our spiritual master, and we have these wonderful scriptures of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so many literatures that tell us of the pastimes of Krishna, describe Krishna, not only all Krishna's glories, so that we understand, you know, very, very clearly who Krishna is, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's the Supreme Controller, Maintainer, Destroyer of everything. He is the Supreme in control, not a blade of grass moves without his will. We understand all of that. So we understand that Krishna is indeed God, and he is the original, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is that original source of everything. So philosophically and intellectually, we understand Krishna. But also, besides just intellectually understanding, our heart is changing. Our heart is becoming melted, and our heart is becoming attracted to Krishna. And as we see Krishna in his beautiful Archavigraha deity form every day, when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly this 10th canto, giving these wonderful these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, we become more and more attracted to the person Krishna, not just an intellectual concept of God, the Supreme, but actually to who Krishna is as a person. So we have, but we're still feeling, of course, that separation. At this point, that we still want to know Krishna, we want to see Krishna, we want to be with him and develop our relationship with him. And of course, that's natural. I was thinking that, of course, in a very, very exalted state, like the gopis or Mother Yashoda, they don't really care, I'm with Krishna, not with Krishna, experiencing this or that. All they do is care about Krishna and Krishna's welfare. And whatever Krishna wants, whatever Krishna needs, his desire is my desire. We may not be quite at that exalted stage, you know, but we are beginning to at least understand what that eternal position is. We're getting some grasp of at least this is the goal. And we understand that our goal is to get out of this material world and these material relationships and redevelop our spiritual relationship. Srila Prabhupada said so many times in his lectures like that we are reawakening that dormant love of God. In other words, that is within us. So that is part of the separation. In other words, how do we experience some separation from Krishna when, you know, we're not meeting Krishna, we're not seeing Krishna in the way that Mother showed in the gopis and the gopis are. Because we ultimately have that relationship with Krishna that is dormant within us. You know, we have our eternal rasa with Krishna, which is now just very, very covered over, which is now covered by the modes of nature and by the illusion of the material energy. But as we begin devotional service, that illusion is becoming lifted, and little by little, our heart is once again turning towards Krishna. So we naturally, want to get out of this material world and be with Krishna. I was thinking that Chris Prabhupada's, his magazine, his primary writing, Back to Godhead, which he started in 1944, many, many years ago, I think it was 1944, continued, of course, when he came to America, and is now going on to this day very nicely under the wonderful service of Nagaraj Prabhu and the other devotees. Why is it called Back to Godhead? That's because that's our mission. Our mission is to get out of this material world and go back to Godhead, to be with Krishna, to develop our loving relationship with Krishna, and to bring the other conditioned souls along with us. So that Back to Godhead exemplifies what Srila Prabhupada came to do, to tell us about Krishna, about our original position, to bring us back to him and bring back all conditioned souls to Krishna. So as we begin the process of bhakti yoga, devotional service, is really two things that are happening. One, we are breaking our attachment to this material world. We are becoming free from Maya, in a sense, and we are also simultaneously becoming attached to Krishna. We are developing that. So we could say that our process of sadhana is twofold. One is the relief from the distress of this material world, and secondly, that we're developing our latent love for God. One way this is put, it's described that our devotional creeper has two leaves. There are two fresh leaves. This is explained in Madhurya Kandambani. The first leaf is called Kleshagni, which is the destroyer of distress, and the second leaf is called Subhadha, the bestower of good fortune. So we are simultaneously becoming detached from this material world, relieved of the distress of this material world, and simultaneously developing our love for Krishna, and of course, developing all good fortune. Now it's explained that these two things are somewhat sequential. We become relieved of distress, and then we are developing our love for Krishna. But it's described that it is almost simultaneous. It's almost at the same time. Both things are happening. So we do experience, we experience both. You know, and Prabhupada would sometimes say, this is how we measure advancement in Krishna consciousness. Are you becoming detached from Maya, and are you becoming attached to Krishna? Very, very simply put. You know, a lot of this can be very technically put, but Srila Prabhupada is so expert at just stating these things so simply and just so clearly that we could understand. Are we becoming detached from the material? Are we becoming attracted and attached to the spiritual, to Krishna? You know, so that means, if that is happening, that means we are successfully going through the process of bhajana kriya, the process of our sadhana, and the next process of anarthanivritti is happening. That we are becoming more free from these anartas, more free from the types of material attachments that keep us in this material world. So I think I'll go on to that since I mentioned that. So our process that we are performing this bhajana kriya. Sadhana means hearing, chanting, remembering, serving Krishna. So all of our devotional service during the day, our morning program, or even whatever our devotional practices are of hearing and chanting, this is all the devotional practice that helps us to become free from matter and attracted to Krishna. And of course, the fourth process of anarthanivritti is also there along the way, that we are becoming free from these material obstacles. So